Today Shir Masechta Menachos Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Koimitz Mi'utoi Makavis Ruboi, which means that you have to have a whole Koimitz. If you only have part of the Koimitz, it's disqualified. And the Mefarshim asked the question that we already learned earlier in Amasechta, that the halacha is that if the koimitz isn't complete, it's not a valid koimitz. So why does our Mishnah have to teach this halacha again? So Mefarshim point out a number of answers. One answer they give, because that Mishnah is referring to the act of kmitza. The act of kmitza requires that the entire koimitz be taken. Our Mishnah is not referring to the act of kmitza, but our Mishnah is referring to after you had that koimitz taken, you have to have the entire mount put on the mizbeach. And otherwise, it will be disqualified. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw, and this is the continuation of this Mishnah to the previous Mishnah, is that we learned in the previous Mishnah that you could burn the koimitz, not all of it at one time. You could do it partially. We saw machlokes, do you have to have at least a kazayis at a time? But everybody agreed, the Mishnah said, that you could burn the koimitz one part at a time. Teaches us the Mishnah that even though the halacha is you could burn one part of the koimitz at a time, the halacha still remains that in terms of taking the koimitz, you have to take the whole koimitz at one time. You can't take it a little at a time. And as the Brisker Rav explains, because our Mishnah is not teaching us specifically a din in shiurim, what is the minimal size of the koimitz? Our Mishnah is teaching us how the koimitz is supposed to be done. And it's supposed to be done that the entire koimitz is taken at one time. Anything less will not be a valid maisa kmitza. Although, I did see a machloikus rishonim in regarding the haktara of the koimitz, how much of the koimitz has to be burnt to be considered a valid haktara, which is not the subject of our Mishnah. Some Rishonim say that the entire koimitz has to be burnt for it to be considered a valid haktara. Others say that roiv is enough. And yet others say that once you put the koimitz on the mizbeach, as soon as a kazayis of that koimitz is burnt, you fulfill the mitzvah's haktara. Continues the Mishnah. Isorin mi'utai makav srubai. You have to have the entire isorin. You can't have less. And the Mefarshim asks, that isn't our Mishnah in the wrong order? Because first you start with an Isorin, and from that Isorin, you take the Koimitz. Our Mishnah says just the opposite. First it speaks about the Koimitz and then the Isorin. So if we follow the second pshat that we just quoted, that our Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, teaching us how the Koimitz should be done, so it makes sense why the Koimitz is the first rule mentioned in our Mishnah. But the other man, the Amar, will explain, since the koimitz is always the shear, but isorin is not always the shear, as we know, sutta kabbanis require more than one isorin. So that's why the Mishnah spoke about the koimitz, which is always the shear, versus the isorin, which is not always the shear. Hayayin, continues the Mishnah, Hayayin m'utai ma'akivis ruba, you have to have the entire shear of the yayin that the Torah requires. Hashemen, and the same thing, you have to have the full amount of the shemen, mi'utoi makif esrubai. You have to have the entire amount of shemen, otherwise it's disqualified. So I saw the Mefarshim ask a number of questions. One question is, shouldn't shemen be mentioned before yayin? Because shemen is part of the karban mincha. The yayin is only part of the karban mincha's nesachim. To which the Mefarshim explained that unlike all the other ingredients that we've discussed, that the exact amount that the Torah wants us to use is the only amount we may use. By Shemen, they explain that the Rambam says, as long as you didn't put in more than a whole loig, more than you're supposed to. In other words, the typical Karban Mincha is one Isorin of flour and one loig of Shemen. Teaches us the Rambam that if you had more than one loig of Shemen, as long as you didn't have two loig of Shemen, it would still be a valid Karban. So therefore, the rule by Shemen is not as hard and fast as it is by the other ingredients, and that's why Shemen is mentioned last. Furthermore, the Mefarshim asks, Why isn't Levina mentioned in our Mishnah that you have to have the whole shear of the Levina? So Mefarshim answer, we've learned the Gemara, since the opinion of most Tanoim is that if even if you have just one or two particles of the Levina, it's a valid Karban Mincha, that's why it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah, Hasoilus Vashemen, Makvin Zezer. You have to have both the Soilus and the Shemen. If you don't have both, the Karban is not valid. Similarly, the Kaimitz Levina, you have to have both the Kaimitz and the Levina. If you don't have both the Kaimitz and the Levina, Makvin Zezer. My Tama, asked the Gemara, how do we know all of these halachas? Answers the Gemara, Meloi Kimtsai, Trev Zimni. Since the Torah uses the words Meloi Kimtsai twice, and we know by Kachim, the halach is Shina Lov HaKosev La'akev, that when the Torah repeats something twice, that means that it must be. Teaches us the Gemara that that's how we know, according to Rashi, that you have to have the entire amount that the Torah prescribes. For as Rashi explains, as the Mefarshim explained Rashi, were we not to have these two psukim, we would think that if the Torah only says it once, it's only lechatchila. But b'di'evid, if you don't have the right amount, it's satisfactory. That's why the Torah teaches us twice. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says if the Torah gives a shear, of course we have to have that amount and nothing less and nothing more. What the Gemara is focused on, according to Tosfos, is that here we have two different ingredients, as the Mishnah said, the soilus and the shemen, the kaimitz and the levina. How do we know that both ingredients must be? Teaches us the Gemara because we have the pasuk saying it twice. And there's a very important nafkamina between the approach of Rashi and the approach of Tosfos. What is the nafkamina? According to Rashi, were it not that the Torah says it twice, we would say that the shear the Torah gives is only lechatchila. Only because the Torah repeats it two times do we know that the shear is mandatory. Tosfos says, without that, when the Torah gives a shear, the shear is mandatory. Where is this relevant to? We know, let's say by mitzvah matzah, for example, the mitzvah is to eat a kazayis a matzah. And what will be the halacha if you ate less than a kazayis? How you fulfilled the mitzvah? According to Tosfos, it seems you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Because Tosfos is saying that, of course, when the Torah gives a shear, you have to eat that shear. And anything less than that shear, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. According to Rashi, however, perhaps you fulfilled the mitzvah. Because according to Rashi, it's only because the Torah repeats the requirement that you have the shear. Is there such an obligation? If not, you could be maybe mekayim the mitzvah even more less than the shear. But then the Mefarshim that say that that's not necessarily the way to necessarily the correct pshat in Rashi. It could be that Rashi agrees with Tosfos that in all situations where the Torah gives us a shear, we have to follow that shear. Just here, since by Kachim, there's a special rule, which we keep on reviewing, of Shana Lova Kosov Lakiv, that if the Torah repeated Halacha, that's why only there is a mandatory, anywhere else not. So only by Kachim would we maybe come to that conclusion that if not for the Torah repeating the halacha, the shear is not absolutely essential. But in all other areas of halacha, it could well be that Rashi agrees that as soon as the Torah gives us a shear, that is the shear, and anything less is not the mitzvah. Issorin, we learned the Mishnah, Me'utim Akavis Arubai, that you have to have the exact amount of the Issorin. My Tama, how do we know this rule? Amakra, Misalta. The Torah uses the word misalta to teach us shimchasra kosher, that extra hay, that if it's missing any of the soilus, it's possible. Hayayin. We learned in the Mishnah, you have to have the right amount of wine. Mi'utoi ma'akavis rubai, because the Torah says kocha. The Torah uses the words kocha. Hashemen, continues the Mishnah. Mi'utoi ma'akavis rubai. By shemen, the halacha is that you have to have the right amount of oil. How do we know so? Because the shemen that's brought by the Michas Nesachim, the Torah uses the words kocha, and the shemen that the Torah uses by Michas Nedava, the Torah uses the words mishamna, to teach us whether the word kocha by Michas Nesachim, or whether the word mishamna by the Michas Nedava, to teach us shemchisa koshu, if you don't have the amount that the Torah prescribes, psul. So here, we have a very interesting Machloikas HaMefarshim, how to understand the Gemara. Our Gemara is teaching us that we have separate psukim for the carbon mechas nedava and for the carbon mechas nesachim. Why are separate psukim needed for these two minchas? So the Brisker Rav explains very nicely, since we've learned previously that the ratio of shemen to flour by mechas nedava is a 1-to-1 ratio, one light per one isarin. By mechas nesachim, it's either 3-to-1 or 2-to-1. So since they don't have the same ratios, that's why, the same proportions, that's why we need different psukim. But by all other minchas, we don't have that difference. A pasuk by one is adequate. Other mefarshim explained this way. Once the Torah has established that the same rule that we have by the shemen of the mechas nedava, and we have the same rule by the shemen of mechas nesachim because we have two psukim, this limud that the Gemara just taught us is a lot deeper than meets the eye. And what this limud is teaching us is that this now becomes the model for everywhere else, that if the Torah teaches us halacha by one, by the mechas nedava, it'll be halacha, that will be the rule by all minchas, even by the mechas nesachim, or vice versa, if the Torah teaches us a law by mechas nesachim, that will be the law by all minchas, even mechas nedava. Continues the Mishnah, Hashem vasoils ma'akvin zeh, misalto mishamna, migirsha mishamna. The difference between salt and girsha is soilus is from flour, girsha is from barley. The Mefarshim also point out that saltoi means flour, because when you grind the grain, it's already dry. Girsha means barley, because when you make the barley flour, they're still moist, and they first have to be dried. Hakayin so avonim akvazazah, akol avonasa, that's kol avonah shal mincha, kol. You have to have the entire amount. Continues the Mishnah. Snei seira yom kippurim. We know that in Yom Kippur, they brought a saw Hashem and a saw Azazel. Teaches us the Mishnah that the Shnei Seira Yom Kippurim Akvan Zeh Zeh points out the Rishash. Why from all of the avoidance of Yom Kippur does our Mishnah focus on the Seira Yom Kippur? Says the Rishash. Since, as we know, the Saul Hashem was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. The Saul HaZazel was brought outside the Beis HaMikdash. So since they're so separate, the avoidance in two different places, we would think that they don't necessarily travel together. Teaches us the Mishnah, Shnei Seira Yom Kippurim Akvan Zeh Zeh. Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, we've discussed numerous times, that the two, on Shavuos, they had to bring two Shalmi Atzibur. Teaches us the Mishnah, Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, Ma'akvin Zeh Zeh. And the Brisker Rav has a very interesting way of explaining the Mishnah. He says, certainly every Shabbos and every Yontif, the Torah tells us what Kabbalahs have to be brought, L'Kavod Shabbos, L'Kavod Yontif. However, by all of those kabbalas, he explains, let's say there is a shortage and you don't have all the animals that you need to bring for carbon. The halacha will be, whatever carbon you could bring, you should bring. And whatever you can't bring, you can't bring. Yom Kippur, Kivsei Atzeres is different. If you don't have both kvasim, if you don't have two, don't bring anything. Continue the Mishnah. Beis Chalas, the two Chalas, of the Shtei Alechem HaShvuas, same rule, Mak V'Zuazu. Shnei Starim, the two rows of bread by the Lechem upon him, Mak V'Zazah, you have to have both. Shnei Bezichim, the two spoons of Levina that were on top of the Shulchan, Ma'ak V'Zazah. Hasudarim V'Bezichim, not only the two rows and the two spoons Ma'ak of each other, but the rows and the spoons, you have to have the entire set. If you don't have everything, don't do anything. Why? So the Sefer Achinach is a Rishon, explains, what does the Shulchan represent? The Shulchan represents Parnasa, that we recognize that our Parnasa, that our livelihood comes from Hashem. So if a person deviates and doesn't have exactly what the Torah prescribes, he's sort of representing that, no, not everything when it comes to Parnasa comes from Hashem. Which is totally unacceptable. Of course, all of our panasa comes only from Hashem. And therefore, if you can't do it perfectly right, don't do it. Continues the Mishnah. Beis Minah Shebe Nazir. The Nazir, as part of his purification, as part of his completion process, is he has to bring 20 loaves of bread, 10 of times 2, 2 different types, 10 each. Tells us the Mishnah, all of those 20 are absolutely essential. Gimel Shebe Parah. The halach is that a parah when you do the avoida, you have to bring shnei eitz eres ve'ezov v'shni talas. All of those things are absolutely essential. Dalet shebetoida. Dalet shebetoida means, as we've discussed many times, when somebody brings a karma toida, he has to bring along with the karma toida 40 loaves of bread, 10 times 4, and the Mishnah teaches us again that all 40 loaves are absolutely essential. Dalet shebelulav, which we'll discuss in the Gemara, the four minim of the lulav, the esrig, lulav, hadassim, and aravis, are all absolutely essential. Arba shemetzayra, which again are the eight eras, the ezov, v'shitalas, and the tzipayrim, ma'akvim zezeh. So Mefarshim asks that a metzayra, aside from all that we just mentioned, they had to bring the mayim chayim, that they put the blood into the mayim chayim. So why is that not mentioned as one of the things that are absolutely essential? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is because the mayim chayim is not there as an independent requirement. The mayim chayim is just a place where the blood should be placed. We're speaking about different items that have their own independent identity, and therefore it doesn't get mentioned in the Mishnah. Another pshat that I saw is that our Mishnah is only focused on what's brought together in one aguda, in one group. The mayim chayim is not brought in that group, and therefore it doesn't apply. The dalet of shiva azor shebeparo. The halacha is that when they did the paraduma, they used to, and we'll discuss this in the Gemara, they kain sprinkled of that water, seven of that mixture, seven times towards the heichel, mak v'zuzu. Zayin hazor shebein abadim. We know that on Yom Kippur, we've discussed this many times, when the kain gadol did the avoida in the kodesh hakodashim, he sprinkled it seven times towards the aron. Shala Preichus, and then he sprinkled it seven times towards the Preichus. Shala Mizbech Hazov, and then there were 11 times on the Mizbech Hazov, four times on the four corners, and then seven times on the top of the Mizbech, Mak V'zuzu. Ask the Mefarshim. We all remember from the Tfilas on Yom Kippur by Musaf, that when we speak, it's really Mishnayis Mesech Yuma, that when we do the Avoida on Yom Kippur, what do? Achas lamala, one towards the top of the Ohr HaKodesh, v'shev lamata. And the same by the Preichus, achas lamala, v'shev lamata. So Mefarshim asked, why is our Mishnah only focused on the shev lamata, the ma'ak v'zu azu? And what about the achas lamala? Why is that not mentioned? That's part of that set. So I saw from Yosef Ben Salvechik, the son of the Brisker Rav, he says a beautiful explanation. He says, our Mishnah's focus is not to teach us the order of the Avoida. Certainly, he says, the order of the Avoida is first it was Achas Lamala by the Aron Kodesh, and then Shev Lamata. First it was Achas Lamala by the Preichus, and then Shev Lamata. That isn't the focus of our Mishnah. The focus of our Mishnah is to teach us that when the Torah speaks about a set, if you didn't do the entire set, you haven't done anything. The Achas Lamala and the Shev Lamata are not to be viewed as one set, and that's part of what the Mishnah is teaching us. They're not to be viewed as one set, they're actually to be viewed as two separate sets. Two separate sets is not the subject of our Mishnah. So the Achas Lamala, of course, you have to do first, because that's the proper Seder of the Avoida, and then the Mishnah is teaching us that all Shev Lamata is one set, and if you omitted or deleted one of them, you haven't fulfilled what you're supposed to do. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara. The first rule we learned were the Shnei Seir Yom Kippur Mik'akvim Zezeh. How do we know so? Because the Torah regarding the Avoid of the Yom Kippur says the word Chukah, and whenever the Torah uses the word Chukah, it means it's absolutely essential. Furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah, Shnei Kivsei Atzeres Mak'akvim Zezeh. How do we know? Because the Torah says Tihiyah, and wherever the Torah uses the word Havayah, it means it must be so. Similarly, the Torah says so regarding the Shtei Chalas. Shnei Storim, the two rows by the Lechem Aponim, the Torah uses regarding the Lechem Aponim, Chayk Oilam. Shnei Bezichim, the same Chayk Oilam, Chukah. Hastorim veBezichim, that you have to have both the rows and the spoons, because the Torah says the words Chukah. Shnei Minim Shebenazer, the two types of loaves that have to, 10 times 2, By the Nazir, the Ksiv Kenya Osir. Gimel Shebapara, the Torah, we spoke about the three, the eight eras, Ezer Vishni Tlas by the Parah Aduma, because the Torah uses the words Chukah. Arba Shebataida, the four by the Taida, because Diskish, because the Halacha is that, and we spoke about this earlier, the Torah makes a Hekish between the Karban Taida and the Karban of the Nazir. The Ksiv, Al Zevach Taida Shlomov, Vamamar, Shlomov L'Rabbi Shalmin Nazir. So we see the Taida and the Nazir travel together. Arvash Mitzayra, the four different meaning of the Mitzayra. The Ksiv, because the Torah uses the words, Zois Tihiya Tairas HaMitzayra. Dalash Shabalulav, we learned that all four meaning are absolutely ascension, because the Torah says the words, V'lakachtem, and we learn from that word that it has to be a Lakicha Tama. Omer Avchanan Barava, Loishan Ala Ein Loi. What does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah is teaching us that if you don't have all four minim, then you shouldn't do the mitzvah. Ava yeshloi, if he has all four minim, eim akfin. Big machlokes we showing him how to understand what is ein loy eim akfin. Rashi, so ava yeshloi eim akfin. Rashi explains that the Gemara means that if you have all dalad minim, you could be mekayim the mitzvah even if you didn't tie them together. We know we're going to speak about in a moment the din of igud of the lulav, of tying the dal aminim together. The Mishnah is teaching, the Gemara is teaching, as long as you have all dal aminim, you could be mekayim the mitzvah even if you could be mekayim the mitzvah even if you didn't tie them together. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says a very big chiddush. Tosfos says that the Mishnah is teaching, that the Gemara is teaching us that let's say somebody has all dal aminim, then he doesn't have to take all Dalaminim together. You could pick up the Lulav, you could do the Esrig, you could do the Hadassim, you could do the Aravis, each one separately, and that would be adequate. Machloikis Rishayim, according to this Pshat, when is that mean, what does it mean that that would be adequate? Does that mean that you have to have at least all four in front of you? And the Gemara is teaching us that if you have all four in front of you, it's, you could do one at a time. Or, even if you don't have all four in front of you, as long as you possess all four, that's good enough. Furthermore, and again, most people don't do this, but just the Gemara is saying, according to Tosfos, that's the halacha, and it is the halacha, what would be the din if somebody has all four, and he's going to be taking one at a time? What should be done? So the Paiskim say, l'chatchila the din is, pick up the lulav, make the bracha as we do on Natilas lulav, not speak until you take the next, and then the next, and then the next. However, what happens if somebody did speak in between taking the different minim? He would have to make a new bracha by every min. The Mishnah, the Gemara clearly says that according to Posh Pshat, the Gemara, if you don't have all four minim, you shouldn't take do them. So the Paiskim have two questions. Is this a din strictly on the first day of Yontif? We're taking the Dal Minim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or outside Yerushalayim, Zachiv, Duraisa, or is it all days Yontif? Most Mepharshim say it's the same rule applies all Yontif, because called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Duraisa Tikkun. Once the Rabbanon institute a rule, they follow all the ways. So whatever's the rule, the first day will be the rule the other days. There are Paiskim that are more lenient on the other days of Yontif. Another interesting shaila, we should never have such a shaila. What happens if there's a community, there are people that don't have all four minim? What should be done? If you don't have all four minim, should you do nothing? Or should you do whatever you can? It seems from the Paiskim, because there's a real dilemma. On one hand, there's certainly an inyan to do what you can. No bracha, obviously, but do what you can. On the other hand, people may make a mistake and think that you don't have to take all dalam minim. So it seems from the Paiskim, the way I saw it, is that the Paiskim suggests that only the Baal Tefillah by Halil should take whatever minim that they have, shloi tishtakach, that they shouldn't forget dalad minim, but not do any more, that people shouldn't make the error that you don't have to have all dalad minim. Furthermore, the Paiskim say, again, Baruch Hashem, we don't have these shilas, we shouldn't have these shilas. Let's say a person doesn't have his own dalad minim, and now he has a choice. Where should he go? He only can be in one place. A place where there's Dalaminim but there's no minion, or should he go to a place where there's a minion but no Dalaminim? The person can say, of course, he should go to the place where there's Dalaminim. Dalaminim is a mitzvah d'oraisa. the Dal Minim is a mitzvah daraisa. Even the Paiskim say to the degree where it's not sure that that place has Dal Minim, and it is sure that the other place has a minyan, a Suffolk daraisa is stronger than a Vade derabbanan. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Dal Minim Shebe Lulav, the four Minim of the Lulav, Beis Mehen, two of them, Oysen Peris, are Minim that produce fruit, the Esrig and the Lulav. And actually, this is the basis of a very famous Shaila. Here the Gemara is clearly describing that the Lulav is something that produces fruit. So what happens if you have a Lulav that doesn't produce fruit? The Lulavim from the Eiver HaYarden, the Lulavim from many places in Europe did not produce fruit because it was cold. So the environment, the climate didn't allow for the production in Europe of fruit. So is that a kosher lulav? So most Paiskim, the Chasam Sofer discusses this, the Mechsalazah discusses this, are of the opinion that since it's a min that does produce fruit, it's good enough even if this particular lulav comes from a tree that doesn't produce fruit. Up to the point that I saw a gewaldige chiddush. We know that the Torah, when it describes the Aravis as the Arvei Nachal. Describes the Aravis as the Arvei Nachal. But the Taz Paskins, the Aravis that grow in your backyard, even though if you don't have a river in your backyard, are 100% kosher. Not only are they kosher, there are Paiskin that suggest you should specifically use those kind of Aravis. Why? Because you want to show that you're following what our Rabbanim Paskin, so you specifically take that kind of Aravis to make that point. So it could be you should take a lulav, even if it comes from a tree that doesn't produce fruit, to show that you're following what the Rabbanim Paskin. However, there is a very famous question regarding the lulavim that are known as the Dekel HaKanari. The Dekel HaKanari are a kind of lulav that grows in the Canary Islands. There's always been a big shaila if they're valid lulavim. Like Machlokes HaPoskim and Ramosha held that they're not valid. The Shevet Alevi holds it not valid. The Shevet Alevi is a very big makmer. He also, if you took a Dekel HaKanari, you have to take another lulav and make a bracha again. One of the reasons they say, one of the rayas that they say that the Dekel HaKanari is not a kosher lulav, because by the Canary Islands, none of the trees produce fruit. In other words, the other lulavim fruit trees, some do, some don't. There is no fruit produced by any of the trees. And our Gemara clearly says that what is one of the simonim of a lulav? Oysen Peris. Beis Mehem, Daravis and Adasim, Ein Oysen Peris. Teaches us the Gemara. Oysen Peris, Yizukukin L'Shein Oysen. They all have to come together. V'Shein Oysen Peris, Yizukukin L'Oysen Peris. Vein Adam Yotzi Dei Chavos Mehem. A person has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Ach Yehei Kulam Baguda Achas. Until they're all in one group. The Cain, Yisrael Ba'atzah. So too, Klai Yisrael, when it comes that they want Mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shiyeh B'Kulam B'Agud Achas. They have to be in one group. Shenema, Haboine Shemayim Maloisov, V'Gudosai Eretz Yisodom. All of Klai Yisrael have to be together. In fact, we know, when we come to Kol Nidre, how does Kol Nidre begin? Adas HaMokoy, Adas HaKol, B'Yeshiva Shomala, B'Yeshiva Shomata, Onu Matirim, L'Spalel Im HaArvayonim. We're saying that in Shemayim, they're fine with us davening with all sorts of people. So the question is, who was in Shemayim that heard that? That were making that announcement. Seder Mefarshim, nobody had to go to Shemayim. They just had to learn this Gemara. This Gemara teaches us that we should all be together. And since the Gemara teaches us that we should all be together, so that's what Shemayim obviously wants. That's why we could say, Adas HaMokayim Yeshiva Shemayim. Another nice verse that I saw. We know that in Yom Kippur, we all say, when we say Krishma, we say Baruch Shem Kvoy Machusa Loyalam Vod out loud, not Belachash as we do all year. So Pash Pshat for that minik is because on Yom Kippur we're like Malachim. But another Pshat is because we just said on Yom Kippur we want everybody to participate in the davening, even the Avayonim. So were we to say Baruch Shem Kvoy Machusa Loyalam Vod, the Gemara says this part, there's a concern that they won't know what are we saying quietly. Maybe we're accepting Chas V'Shalom, another God's dominion. So we specifically announce loud, Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus L'Olam Vod, because they're in the shul, and they shouldn't think that we have any ulterior motives. But here it says that we have to put them together, and we just learned that as long as you have them all, you don't have to put them together. Answers the Gemara, Tanoihi. It actually represents a machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya, Lolo ben Ogud b'she'en Ogud, whether they're tied together or not, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ogud kosher, she'en Ogud posel. My Tama, Rabbi Yehuda, what is the reason from Yehuda? Gama kicha kicha megudas ezev. We learned by that Gudas Ezev, we spoke about it in the Mishnah. Malahalan, they're all tied together. Afkan baguda. Rabbanan loigam kicha kicha. As we've learned many times, you can't say Xereshava on your own. The Rabbanim did not have a Messiah on this Xereshava, so they can't say it. Ask the Gemara, Kaman Ozla Hadatanya, whose opinion is it that says Lulav Mitzvah Ogdoi, that you have to tie them Lulav together, Vimloy Ogda Kosher, and if you haven't done it, it's fine. Ask the Gemara, whose opinion is that? Kaman, Ikra Behuda, Loy Ogda Mai Kosher, Kontra Behuda, but the Raisa you have to have them tied together. I Rabbanim, my mitzvah. The Rabbanan said you don't have to tie it together. Answers the Gemara. Loilam that price represents the opinion of Rabbanan. Or my mitzvah, Mishum Zakeli Van Veyu. It's a hidden mitzvah to have the lulav tied together. So there's a number of points to be made here. One point to be made is that the Machlokes HaRishonim, if hidden mitzvah is the Daraisa or the Rabbanan. Our Gemara speaks about hidden mitzvah. Some Rishonim say it's the Daraisa. Some say it's the Rabbanan. There's a third opinion that says the Torah left it up to the Rabbanan to determine what is a hidda mitzvah. Interesting verse from the Brisker Rav. He asks a simple question. He says, what's the hidda mitzvah of tying together the dalam minim? What makes the minim together? What makes it so beautiful? So he says a gorgeous word. He says the beauty is not necessarily that they're tied together. It could be it's nice when they're separate. The beauty is that a person spent time and effort with his mitzvah. To tie together the lulav takes time and effort, especially Erev Yontov, it's a busy time. And a person that takes out his time and effort to do a mitzvah, that's the hidden mitzvah. Mefarshim go on to say, so it comes out that everybody agrees you have to tie the gimel minim together. It's only nafkamina if it's a hidden mitzvah or the other because of gzeres shava. What would be the nafkamina? So I saw a number of nafkaminas. One nafkamina would be if you have to use specifically one of, and that's our minig, that we use the lulav leaves itself. If it's because that's the mitzvah, so you can't bring another min into the mitzvah. If it's because of hidden mitzvah, it wouldn't be a problem if you tied with something else. Another nafkamina would be if you tied it before, if you didn't tie it before Shabbos Yontif, if you could tie it on Shabbos Yontif. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's a requirement. So if you tie it on Yontif, it's tikkun mana. And tikkun mana is also on Yontif. According to Rabbanan, it's only a hidden mitzvah, it may be permissible. Another nafkamina is how you tie it together. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be a kesher shel kayama, because it's absolute deraisa, the requirement. According to Rabbanan, it's only a hidden mitzvah, you don't necessarily have to have a kesher shel kayama. A fourth nafkamina is if you put it together with tassav aloim and osui. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't be good enough, because the tying in itself is a mitzvah. According to Rabbanan, it doesn't make a difference how it's tied. As long as it's tied, it's a hidden mitzvah. The Gra says that our Gemara is teaching us that all of the minim have to be tied together, but we know that that isn't the case. The Esrig is not tied together with the other minim. So what pshat, all four minim have to be tied together? Says the Gra, from here is the minik, from here is the halacha, not a minik, from here is the halacha, that when you take the dalam minim, and you have the esrog in your left hand and the other gimel minim in your right hand, you have to make sure that the esrog is right next to the lulav. People are concerned because you get the esrog ruined. That's what you're supposed to do. In fact, there's a famous story, I think the Magen Avraham quotes it, where somebody had a dream on Sukkot by night that he was writing the Shem Hashem. The Shem Hashem we know is Yud Kei Vav Kei. He wrote Yud Kei Vav, and then the Hey he wrote separate. And he didn't understand what that dream represented. Until he was told, it must have been when you were taking the dalam minim, you had the three minim in one hand, and you had the esrog separate from those minim. It's not acceptable. You have to have them all together. What is the lesson that our Gemara goes into such great length to teach us that all dalam minim have to be together? So Mefarshim explained that the lesson is that what makes Klai Yisrael Klai Yisrael is that everybody in Klai Yisrael, as is always the case, have different strengths and different weaknesses. It's only because we all come together with our individual strengths, says the Imri Emes, that makes us great. Miches Yitzchak says a different word. Miches Yitzchak says, we know the Gemara says, I think it's Gemara Masechet Kedushin. The Gemara says that the world is judged according to the Roiv. If most people, if there are more mitzvahs than averus, the city is judged that way. Our Gemara is teaching us that let's say you have a person, he himself has more averus than mitzvahs. But he's part of the community, we don't look at him, we look at him as part of the community, and if the community has more mitzvahs, that could save him. However, go on the Mefarshim to explain. Here we're learning the power of Achdus. We're learning how all of us should come together. However, the Ben Yoyada has a very powerful pshat. He says, what's the reason that the tzaddikim should become one with the Rishoyim? Need they not be concerned that the Rishoyim will have a bad influence on them? So he says a very interesting word. He says the Ben Yoyada that the tzaddikim are only recognized as tzaddikim when they're together with the Rishoyim. If you have a person that's a tzaddik, but he's together with other tzaddikim, he doesn't shine. Only when he's together with other people who are not that great is his tzidkus evident and he could be a positive influence on everyone. And therefore, the Mefarshim go on to explain that even though our Gemara is teaching us the importance of all of us to come together, whether by tefillah, whether by the dalaminim, it's only when the tzaddikim can be certain that the coming together will not have a negative influence on them. We always have to remember that the tzaddikim are more important than the Rishoyim, not vice versa. And how is that represented? Because the halacha is that when you have your lulav, you have to have the hadassim above the ravas. Why do you have to have the hadassim above the ravas? The ravas represent people that don't have Torah and don't have masim toivim. The hadassim represent people that have masim toivim, don't have Torah. The hadassim have to be on top of the ravas. Let's remember who's important and who's less important. We learned in the Mishnah. Sheva azar shebeparo. The seven hazars that they did by the paraduma, the halach is mak v'zuzu. Why? Because the Torah uses the word tzchuka. Sheva hazar shabein abadim, v'shal mizbech bein abadim on Yom Kippur, mizbech hazav, v'shal aproiches, mak v'zuzu. How do we know this? Because by Yom Kippur, the Torah uses the word tzchuka. The parakai Mashiach, and the param damash tzibur, that was sprinkled to the proiches on the mizbech hazav, the Sira Vedus Kachavim, Kritanya, we learned the Gemara Masech the Zvachim, Vos Lepar, Kishos Lepar. The Torah teaches us all of the halachas by both of these kabbonis. And then the Torah reviews, Vos Lepar, Kishos Lepar, Matam Aloymer. Why does the Torah have to put in this pasuk? Lichbal Bazos, to teach us, Shemchisa Achs Menal Matanus, if you haven't done exactly as the Torah says, Loyasaklum. Tan Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Sheva Azosh Beporo, the seven azars that were spritzed by the paraduma, sh'osin shloim l'shmon, if you did them shloim l'shmon, or you did them shloim l'chavonis, if you didn't sprinkle them facing the entrance of the heichel, the halach is that they're possible. Shebefnim, the sheva hazars that were done by the kabbonis that we just mentioned, that are done inside the base of Mikdash, or shebemitzayra, or the sprinkling that was done by Shah Nikner, the shemen that the Metzora brought, had to be sprinkled facing the Beis HaMikdash. Their halach is, if they were done Shaloi L'Shman, the apostle, if they're done Shaloi M'chuvonois, the ksheres. Ask the Gemara, is this the halacha? For Tanya, we learned another brisa regarding the Paraduma, that it says, this brisa says Shaloi L'Shman, if they were done Shloi L'Shmon, indeed the apostle. But his price says that if the sprinkling of the paraduma was done Shloi M'chuvonois, it's ksheiros. So we have a stira. The first price says Shloi M'chuvonois is psulois, and this price says Shloi M'chuvonois are ksheiros. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Chizda Loikasha, Harab Yehuda Rabbanan. This machlokes actually reflects a machlokes of Yehuda Rabbanan, the Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa. M'chusrei Kapara, we know that certain people who become Tomei, besides having to go through the Tara process of going to the Mikvah and having hair of Shemesh, they also have to bring a carbon. These individuals, Shenichnasu L'Azara, if they come into the Azara, B'Shoigig, if they did this B'Shoigig, the Chayiv Chatas, B'Mezid, the Arnish Karish. Vein Tzarech Loimer, and certainly so is the Halacha, somebody who's a Tfil Yoyim. A Tfil Yoyim is an individual who went to the Mikvah but didn't have Harav Shemesh. V'shah Kol HaTmein V'Toyer, other individuals, Shenichnasu Lefnim Mechitzosin, if they enter an area to where they may not be, Lehechel Kuloi Barboim, if they go into the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to get Malkus, if they did so b'mezit. Mechloikis Rishonim, if there's in the Azara 11 Amo, there's in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara 11 Amo, which is called the place where the Yisraelim may go. What would be the halacha if the Yisraelim go past those 11 Amo? Will it be treated like the Hechel or not? Mechloikis Rishonim. Continues the Braisa, Lehechel Kuloi, if they enter the Hechel, Barboim, then they get Malkus. Tosfos says, however, if somebody goes into the Hechel with the intent of Ishtachavo, just to bow down, that's not called that he went in for no reason and he wouldn't get Malkus. Bibes Leproiches, once he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or El Pnei Kapyrus, he enters the area where there is the Orin, for that is Misa, Misa Bdei Shemayim. That is the opinion of the Rabbonim. Rabbi Yehuda has a different opinion. Kol HaHechel Kuloi, the entire Hechel, or Mibes Leproiches, the area inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, up to the Orin, there is only Malkus Aboim. Val Pnei Kapyrus, if you enter the area of the Orin, there's a Chiv Misa. Ask the Gemara B'Maikum Mifgi, what is the basis of the Machloikus of Rabbonim Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, they're arguing how to understand Baha'i Kroah, this Pasuk. Pasuk says, "V'yom Hashem Moshe, daba Aaron Achicha, v'el v'al yovay b'chol eis el akodesh, mepneis leproiches apnei kaparis asher aron v'lo yomus." That's the pasuk, and there's a machlokes how to understand the pasuk. Rabbanan Sovi, Rabbanan of the opinion, el akodesh, if they enter the kodesh b'lo yovay, there is a chiv lav, they get malchus. If they go into the area of Mebeis Leproiches, or Pnei Kapyrus, they go into the Kodesh Kedoshim, B'lo Yomus, there'll be a Chiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, learns as follows. Ela Kodesh Mebeis Leproiches, there's a Chiv Lo Yovah, there's a Chiv Malkus, Val Pnei Kapyrus, if they go into the area of the Aron HaKodesh, B'lo Yomus, there'll be Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. Now the Gemara goes further. My time of the Rabbanan. And how did Rabbanan defend their opinion? Says the Gemara, Isal Gedatach, because they say, Isal Gedatach could come Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Yehuda is indeed correct, Lichta Rechman Ala Kodesh, let the Torah speak about two areas. They should speak about Ela Kodesh, that there is a Chiyiv Malkus, Vela Pnei Kapyrus, that there's a Chiyiv Misa. Vela Mboi, and there would be no need for the Torah to mention Beis Leproiches. Vano Amina, and we'll say as follows, Heichel Mechayiv, if you chayiv Malkus for going into the Hechel, the Beis Leproiches, to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim Miboya, certainly chayiv Malkus. So say the Rabbanan to Yehuda, the Beis HaProiches, the Kosev Rachman Olamali, according to you, why did the Torah have to add the words, the Beis Leproiches? Must be, say the Rabbanan, Shema Mina, because for that area, there's a chayiv Misa V'dei Shemayim. Yehuda, how does Yehuda defend himself? He says, I Kosev Rachman Ala Kodesh, if the Torah had only written Ela Kodesh, V'loi Kosami Beis Leproiches, I didn't speak about the Beis Leproiches, have a meaning, we would assume, my Kodesh, what is the definition of Kodesh? Beis Leproiches, entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Avel Hechel, going into the Kodesh, Lav Namiloi, there wouldn't even be a Lav. That's what the Torah has to speak about the Hechel. Vahu, Rabbanan, how did Rabbanan respond to Rabbi Yehuda? Vahu Loi Matzis Amrit, there is no possibility, say the Rabbanan to Yehuda, to have such a Havimina. The Hechel Kuloi Ikri Kodesh. We certainly know that the Hechel is called Kodesh. Shneimer, as the Pasuk says, Vevdila Proiches Lechem Ben a Kodesh or Ben Kodesh HaGadoshim. Rabbi Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yehuda explain his position? My Tama. Isak Adatach, says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbanan. Isak Adatach could come with Rabbanan. If the Rabbanan are indeed correct, Lichta Rechmona Ela Kodesh, the Torah should have just spoken about two areas. The Kodesh and the Beis Leproiches. And there's no need for the Torah to speak about the area next to the Oren. Now we can make the following, we would be able to make the following extrapolation. Beis Leproiches, if as soon as you enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's a Chiv Misa, El Pnei Kapyrus, Certainly, if you go into the area of the Orin, Mibayi the Zachim Misa, says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbanan, Apnei Kapayrus the Kos Rachman Alomali, why does the Torah have to single out that area? Shema Mina, must be to teach us. Apnei Kapayrus, if you go to the area where there's the Orin, the Zachiv, Misa, Mibayis Lepreichus, if you go to the area of the rest of the Kaddish Kedoshim, there's only a Chiv Lav, a Chiv Malkus. Rabbanan, how did Rabbanan defend himself? They say as follows. Hachanami, you are correct, Rabbi Yehuda. The light sarach. There really is no need for the Torah to single out the area of the Aron. Why did the Torah single it out? Lemutei derech mishupish. To teach us that if you went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim derech mishupish, you would not be chai misa. What is the definition of derech mishupish? Three different pshatim I saw. One pshat is that you entered through the main entrance, but you didn't walk straight. You walked balachsen. You walked not direct straight. Another pshat is that you made a new entrance in the Tzofer or the Dorum of the Beis Hamikdash, and that's how you entered. The third pshat is we know there was an entrance through the roof. You entered through the roof into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. K'detari debei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, apnei kapayrus keima, ze b'nei of, kam makom shenem b'pnei, el apnei kadim. To teach us that to be chayiv, you have to walk in straight. How does Rabbi Yehuda learn this halacha? Rabbi Yehuda says, le makro p'nei. The Torah should have just written the word p'nei. My el. What do we learn from the word el? Shema mina el dafka. It has to be specifically that way. So Rabbi Yehuda has another way of learning that din. Rabbanan, el lav dafka. Just because the Torah uses the word el, it's lav dafka. So now, says the Gemara, we learned a whole piece of Gemara about a sugya that's not relevant to us. Now the Gemara connects it. Rabbi Yehuda da'ama el p'nei kapayrus dafka. Rabbi Yehuda says, when the Torah uses the word El, it's very specific. Similarly, when the Torah uses regarding the Hazor, the word El, Vehizah El Noichach, Nami Dafka. And that's why it has to be done. If it's done Shloim Chuvanois, it's possible. Rabbanan disagree. Midah Hasam, Lav Dafka, just like by the Din of Pnei Kapayrus, the word El is Lav Dafka, Hachnami by the Parah, the word El is Lav Dafka. Maskle Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Midah El, Dafka, if Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the word El is Dafka, El Noichanam is Dafka, so there also it says the word El Noichach when it comes to sprinkling on Yom Kippur, it also means Dafka. So says the Gemara, El the Migdashani, by the base of Migdashani, the Loihava Arva Kapyrus, Hachanami the Loihava Razos, because the Torah says it has to be exactly as prescribed, answers the Gemara, Amarava Baba Ula, Amakrava Chippus Migdash HaKadosh. Makom HaKadosh L'Kadosh. The Torah is teaching us, as long as it's a holy place, it's enough. Rav Amar, Hava Hava Rabbanan. Rav gives a different way of reconciling the two brises about Shlokim Avos. Hadukai, Mizrach HaMariv. If he's standing on the Mizrach side and he's spritzing, that's good enough. Hadukai Tzof V'Darim V'Adim. V'Amar, Shebefnim Shebemitzar Shloi L'Shman, we learned before, is Psulis. But if he did by them, Shloi M'Chavonis, is Ksheiris. Freck asked the Gemara, but isn't there different mandam that says Ben Shloim Lishman, Ben Shloim Lishvarnas is Ksheris? So we have a stira by the Pnim and Mitzayr. If you did it Shloim Lishman, what is the halacha? One place it says Psulois, one says it's Ksheris. And so the Gemara, Amrav Yisloi Kasha, Harav Leza Varab Banan. It represents the machlokes we learned in Masechta Zvachim, first Mishnah between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanan. Rabbi Lezer, the Makish Oshem Lechatis. Just like he compares the carbon oshem to carbon chatas, makish nami loig l'oshem. And just like the oshem has shloi l'shmas posel, according to Belezer, because the carbon chatas is posel, the loig shemen, spritzing the loig, will be posel. Rabbanan, however, loig makshi, and therefore they're going to hold the oshem, shloi l'shmas koshem, and the loig shemen is also koshem. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer, v'chidava alama b'chekish, choyz malam b'chekish. We learned many times in Masechta Zvachim that double hekish is unacceptable. El Amar Rava, the way to reconcile these two brises, hava ha rabbanan. Kan lahachshe, kan laharzis. In order for the kohen to be able to use the oil, even if it was brought shloi l'shma, it's kosher. In order for the mitzvah to have a kapara, if it was brought shloi l'shma, it's olu l'balim, but he don't have a kapara.